Well, let's open up God's Word today. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And if you're new with us this morning, we've been doing a series, just working our way a little bit at a time through the book of Philippians. And this morning, we come to chapter 4, verse 4. And there's so much to think about in this one verse today that we're going to settle in on just this one verse because it brings us a super important principle and concept. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." This verse is so short, I think we can just all say it together this morning. Let's read this out loud together. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, you'll notice in the New International Version, which is up on the screen, and maybe several of your versions as well, you'll notice an exclamation point at the end of this verse. Now, this is significant because in the original Greek, there were no exclamation points. So why do they put that in there? Well, I'm glad they put it there because it makes the most sense out of this verse. The word "rejoice" here is given to us in the Greek text as an exclamation. It's given to us as a command, it's a command that Paul restates twice here. So it's not a suggestion for us today. It's a command. And it says it twice. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again." So if the Apostle Paul finds it necessary to repeat himself right after he just wrote something, then it means a lot. It carries some weight, and it deserves an exclamation point here. The other thing I want you to notice is the word "always." Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Always. Our rejoicing doesn't depend on our circumstances, right? There's no off season for rejoicing. And by the way, there's no retiring from rejoicing. "I will say it again, rejoice, rejoice." And by the way, keep in mind, because you might be thinking to yourself, well, yeah, that's easy for him to say. Keep in mind that Paul is writing from prison. He's writing from a Roman prison. So if Paul can say that he's rejoicing, then we can say that we're rejoicing. Paul had learned that the Philippian church was experiencing at least some form of persecution. And so he's saying to them, look, I know what's going on with you, and I want to encourage you. Don't let them steal your joy. Don't let them steal your joy. Keep on rejoicing. In fact, 8 times in this letter, Paul either refers to himself as rejoicing or encourages them to rejoice. 8 times. Now that's a lot when you consider there's only 4 chapters in this book. So it's a big deal to the Apostle Paul, and it should be to us today. Rejoicing is important. It matters. It matters for a lot of reasons, but I just want to suggest to you like 3 big categories of why rejoicing is important. First of all, rejoicing is important for yourself. For some of you this morning, rejoicing just comes naturally. I mean, you're just a bubbly person. You're just full of energy. You're naturally upbeat, right? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about making a decision to rejoice no matter what your personality type is or no matter what your circumstances are. You need to rejoice for yourself. So rejoicing, apparently, it's an emotion, for sure, but it's also a decision that we make. Kind of like love, right? Love, it's an emotion, But on a deeper, more mature level, love is also a decision, right? How many of you found you can love your spouse even days you don't feel like loving your spouse? Amen? I'm thankful for that. Not that Janice is hard to love, but she's married to someone that can be, believe it or not, difficult to love at times. And so she's made the choice, bless her heart, to love me even on those difficult days. So rejoicing is, it's an emotion, but it's also a decision. And it's a decision that has a huge impact on our own lives. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. So conversely, when we're not joyful, when we're not rejoicing, it just saps us of the strength and energy that we need for life. So we need to practice rejoicing because it's good for the soul. Amen? Yeah. And I'm here to tell you today, you don't need that alcohol. You don't need that marijuana. You don't need that pill. You don't need that porn site. You need to learn the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength, not all that other stuff. Second reason rejoicing is important is rejoicing is important to the people around you. Our words, our attitudes, our demeanor, all of these things have an emotional impact on the people closest to us, our family, our coworkers, our fellow church members. We create an atmosphere around us. So rejoicing is important for us, but it's also important for the people around us. And finally, rejoicing is important to our testimony. It's important to our testimony. You've probably noticed this, but deserved or not, the image that a lot of people have of evangelical Christians is not a positive one. We're often seen as being kind of Debbie Downers. We're often seen as the people who are always angry about something. People who are highly critical and judgmental of others. The kind of people who don't know how to have fun and don't want anybody else to have fun either. Now listen, I will say that a lot of this perception I'm going to pin on Hollywood's attack of the Christian faith. Some of it, though, I kind of think maybe we've brought on ourselves. And I think we could be a little more upbeat. I think we could smile a little more, right? Of all the people in the world who have something to be happy about, it's those of us who really know Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. And so rejoicing, the joy of the Lord is a part of our testimony. It's a part of telling people about Jesus. We want to make Jesus attractive because he is. You know, in the Gospels we read people, even sinners, were drawn to Jesus. There was something about Jesus that they just loved and they wanted. And so, friends, let's flip the script and let's get people asking, what do those people have that I don't have? Amen? What is it about them? How can they be so happy when things are so tough? Now, listen, I want to say this morning that I'm not saying that the expectation is that we're going to go around all the time with a smile on our face, like some kind of rejoicing robot. Now, I'm talking about reality here. The reality is life is hard. Life has all kinds of ups and downs that affect us. Even Jesus himself, by the way, experienced sorrow and pain, right? Jesus knew what sorrow felt like. These are normal, healthy human emotions, and we don't need to live in denial of those things. But when we're talking about rejoicing today, we're talking about something that goes much deeper than even our deepest emotions. We're talking about a faith that can strengthen the very core of who we are. And so what I want to do is talk a little bit about why should we rejoice? I mean, on my toughest day, what is there to be happy about, right? So I want to create for you this morning kind of a theology of rejoicing. How can I rejoice even when life is hard? All right? So I want to give you a few things. And the first one, I think, is the most important one. We rejoice in our salvation. Rejoice in your salvation. Right? With all the ups and downs in life, remember this. Jesus died for you and is risen from the dead. And because of that, you have eternal life. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your life is deeply rooted in Christ's death and resurrection. Your salvation is the most important thing in all the world, and nothing and nobody, not even the devil himself, can take it away from you. Hallelujah. Rejoice in your salvation. Secondly, rejoice in your trials. You say, Pastor Tim, you had me and then you lost me. No, it's true. We can rejoice even in our trials because we rejoice in the knowledge that God is at work in our lives, even in our hardest moments, even in the most difficult times. God is using those hard times to shape our destiny. James chapter 1 and verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so we don't necessarily enjoy all those trials and tribulations, but at the same time, we can take joy in the knowledge that God is going to work in them and through them to do something beautiful and wonderful in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, we'll often hear, and this is kind of a cultural mantra, live in the moment. Live in the moment. I don't want to say no. That's the opposite of what you need to do. Live for eternity. Amen? You don't live just for the moment. If you're living just for the moment, man, life is going to be an emotional roller coaster for you. But live for what God is doing and what God has for you in the future. Live for something bigger, something better than the moment. And then you can rejoice even in life's trials. All right. Third thing we can rejoice for is rejoice in God's abiding presence. His abiding presence. That no matter what is happening in my life and all the ups and downs, God is always there. He says he will never leave us or forsake us. I don't know about you, but that makes all the difference in the world. I know that every day my God is with me. Hallelujah. Side. Psalm 23, David wrote this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rejoice in God's abiding presence. And then fourthly, rejoice in your victorious future. Church, just a reminder, we're going to win. You should be a lot happier about that. We're going to win. We're going to win. Yeah. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is writing about life, and he's writing about the trials and difficulties of life. And he says in verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. God had given Paul such a vision of the future destiny of God's children. And what he saw was so glorious, so magnificent, so splendid, so triumphant, that he deemed this present life unworthy of even comparing to it. Rejoice in your victorious future. All right. Now, how do we do this? How do we increase our joy level? How do I fill up my joy bucket? For some of you this morning, your joy bucket is filled up and overflowing. I mean, you're so full of joy, it's splashing out on everybody around you. And frankly, it's a little annoying to some of us. No, I'm just kidding. Keep it up. Keep it up. For some of you this morning, you would say, yeah, I've got joy, but I could use a top off, right? I could use a refill. And I'm going to say probably for some of you this morning, your joy bucket seems as dry as the desert. And I want you to know you're in the right place today because I believe God wants to do something so powerful in your life today. And in a few minutes, we're going to take some time and we're going to pray for those of you who are just saying, I need the joy of the Lord. We're going to bring our burdens to Jesus today. We're going to come to these altars and we're going to say, God, I'm tired. I'm weary. I can't carry this anymore. So how do we fill up our joy bucket? First thing, and I think this is so important. It's praise and worship. Praise and worship. Listen, this is hard for me to admit as a pastor teacher, but the worship portion of our service is the most important part of church. Now, you say, Pastor Tim, how can you say that? Listen, I don't want to diminish at all the importance of teaching God's word. I mean, it's throughout the scripture, the teaching of God's word, reading God's word out loud, all of these things, learning God's word. I don't want to at all indicate that this is not important. It's so important, so important. I've given my life to trying to do that to the best of my ability, okay? So it's important, all right? But for every scripture about us reading the word of God and studying the word of God and hearing the word of God, I can read you dozens and dozens of scriptures about the importance of worshiping the Lord. God has given us this beautiful gift of music and worship and rejoicing because it opens up our spirit to the Holy Spirit of God. So never come into a worship service thinking, well, I just hope they pick the right songs today. Can we get through this and get to the preaching? Listen, because it's not about the worship team. It's not about the songs. It's not about the music. It's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. So I want to encourage you, when you come to a worship gathering, come ready to praise the Lord because he's worthy. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me just give you a few of these scriptures, and I want you to, there's so many of them I could have chosen, but I chose one specifically that linked together worship and joy, or praising the Lord in joy. Okay? So listen to these. Psalm 33:1, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Psalm 33:3, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 92:4, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. Psalm 100:2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Hallelujah. How many of you ever found that you just, like, there's been a Sunday morning or two where you just barely drug your body to church? Right? Like, your heart was really not in it. You came out of obedience. But as you came and you started to sing and worship the Lord, all of a sudden God was working in the midst of your life, in your heart, and your spirit that came in so weighted down and heavy was being lifted up by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's what God does as we worship and praise him. And by the way, you don't have to wait for Sunday morning to worship the Lord. Amen? Get yourself some good worship music and get it going in your car. Right? Get it on your... Do we still have iPods? Nobody has iPods anymore. Anybody here have an iPod? Your iPod, your phone, whatever device that you have. Get some good worship and praise music on there and worship the Lord. And by the way, not only do not have to be in church on Sunday to worship the Lord, you don't even have to play music to worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord wherever you are. Amen? Yeah. I just want to encourage you. Some of you this morning, you hold back because you think you don't have a good voice. You don't have a good singing voice. Listen, folks, I've been doing this for a long time now, and I can say with authority, 90% of the people in church don't have a good singing voice. You're among friends, right? It's not about how great you sound. It's about your heart. It's about expressing the thankfulness that God deserves. Hallelujah. The second thing you can do to keep your joy bucket full is this. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. Psalm 97:11. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Who does joy shine on? The upright in heart, the righteous, the upright in heart. You will never live a life of rejoicing if your heart is all sludged up with bitterness or anger or hatred or lust or greed or sin. You'll never have a heart that's rejoicing if those things are dominant in your heart. So for some of us, our first step toward being able to rejoice is going to be to repent. To repent. To say, God, I need you to clean my heart. I ask for forgiveness and cleansing. Because when life is weighted up and or piling on you and you're weighted down, that's what you need to do. When the weight of the world is on your shoulders, we have this nuclear option called prayer. Amen? That defeats the enemy. Number three, filling your joy bucket. Have a sense of humor. You say, Pastor Tim, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Oh, I beg to differ. Having a sense of humor is very spiritual. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Amen? Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on. Have a sense of humor. Yeah. Learn to laugh. Learn how to tell a good, clean, wholesome joke. I say that because I'm just terrible at jokes. I'm terrible at them. But I like it when other people tell them. Have a sense of humor. Number four, feed on God's word. Feed on God's word. Well, how does that bring joy? Psalm 19:8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. So just being in the word of God, reading the word of God, hearing the word of God, memorizing the word of God, it helps fill your joy bucket. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. Number five, be generous. Pastor Ben actually mentioned this earlier. Be generous. Generosity breeds joy. Stinginess breeds bitterness. Right? Paul wrote, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Show me a generous person, and I'll show you a joyful person. Yeah. It brings joy to be a generous person. Be generous. And then number six is the last one. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The truth is, in the natural, you're only going to generate a certain amount of joy. Right? Your own personality, it's only going to generate a certain amount of joy. But thanks be to God, God has given us His Holy Spirit so that we don't live in the natural, we live in the realm of the supernatural. And God can give us a joy that goes beyond our ability or even our understanding. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and the list goes on. But I want you to notice, very second thing on the list of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. Hallelujah. The fruit means this is the result. The result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we will have a supernatural joy in our lives. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit of God that brings joy. And then Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine. I already mentioned that. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, do what? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And it goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit does. My sense this morning is that there's probably many of us in this place that could use a little joy in our joy bucket. Amen? We could use a refilling of the joy of the Lord. And I believe today God is going to do something powerful and special in your life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. We're going to take some time this morning to just get into the presence of God. By the way, God's been here all morning. To position ourselves in the presence of God and ask God to do something in our hearts. I'll be honest with you, the last three weeks, we've had, as a church family, I don't know, it's just been a season where a lot of really difficult things have been taking place in people's lives. It's been a lot of challenges. Had a couple of people in the last few weeks diagnosed with cancer. We've had people pass away, which, you know, if they know Jesus, they're in heaven. Amen for that. But it's hard for their family, and it's hard for us. Just had a lot of things. And then just this morning on a personal note, got a text message from our daughter that our son and daughter-in-law's grocery store up in the Seattle area was broke into last night. Some thieves actually stole a forklift truck from a nearby business and drove it right through the front window of their store, smashed the whole front of the store and took a bunch of stuff. And it's kind of what Seattle's like these days, unfortunately. So there's been a lot of things. Right now, we're praying for Gina Reese's aunt, who is in critical condition up at Rogue Valley. So we're praying for her, her Aunt Evelyn. It's been a number of things. And so this morning, in the midst of all that, it almost seemed counterintuitive for me to be talking about joy and rejoicing. I almost thought, man, how can I even talk about it today? And the Lord said, this is exactly when you need to talk about it. Because I'm going to do something for my people. And so what we're going to do this morning is... the thought here is not that I was just going to get you kind of pumped up and say, come on, you just need to rejoice. That's not the thought at all. The thought I have this morning is that we need to board and lay them down at his feet. The difficulties, the burdens, the heaviness, we just need to lay them at Jesus' feet. And I'm going to open the altars today and invite you to come forward. You say, Pastor Tim, why do I got to go up there? Well, you don't have to, first of all. But here's what I've seen in my own life. When I've been burdened down, there's just been something about me coming to an altar and then taking my burdens and just saying, God, this belongs to you. And then getting up after I'm done praying and walking away and leaving my burdens there. Does that make sense? It's like this physical picture of what is happening in the spirit, that I'm taking my burdens to the Lord and I'm leaving them with God because I'm not the one that needs to be trying to carry those things. God didn't design us to do that. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And so we want to take those burdens to the Lord because I believe that's a step that we need to take if we're ever going to get to rejoicing. We got to learn to take these burdens to God and let him have them. And I want to read to you, before I open the altars for prayer, I want to read to you Isaiah 61, the first three verses. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I believe this is exactly what God wants to do in this house today. And so I want to invite you right now to just, let's all stand up. We'll make it easier if we do that. And I invite you to just step out from where you are right now. If you've come and you've got some burdens that you just need to bring to the Lord this morning, you just need God's comfort. You need God's strength today. You just need to take that heaviness and lay them down at the feet of Jesus today. Let's just come to the altar right now, all right? Just step out from where you are. Make your way down here. You can come, you can stand, you can kneel. Just bring it to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray over all of you. Hallelujah. Come on. More of you need to be here. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. I also want to invite anybody here that feels led by the Lord to come and pray with somebody. The Bible says that we should mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. So this is a family time. This is a family deal. So if you feel led by the Lord to come and pray with somebody this morning, come and do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's take those burdens, those fears, those worries. Let's bring them to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. God, today, we choose to rejoice in you. We choose you, Lord. Today, God, we bring those things that are weighing us down. God, the fear, the worry, the burden, the heaviness, Lord. We bring them to you. Lord, we thank you, God, that even those times in life we feel alone, God, we're not. That you are there. You are our comfort. You are our strength. You are our deliverer. You are our salvation, oh God. You are our healer. You're our provider. Hallelujah. You're our champion, Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are right with us. You are fighting for us, God. You are there beside us. You're the one that we can bring our burdens to. You're the one that we can cry on your shoulder, Lord. You're the one, God, that we can lay out our tears before you, God. We can lay our hearts bare before you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can take these burdens and we don't have to carry them. We don't have to drag them around. We thank you, God, that you are the one that carries those burdens of life, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you thanks. And we stand together, Lord, with our brothers and sisters today, God. Some of them going through just incredibly difficult, trying things. We lift them up to you today in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, for your comfort over their life. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, God, that you are with us. God, we take on today, God, that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We lay down the spirit of heaviness, Lord, and we pick up that garment of praise, and we choose today the joy of the Lord. We choose today the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, say it together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We trust in you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, God.